Hi, this is Brian Robinson, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Austin Davis, play action hit, and he's sacked back at the 21-yard line. He's sacked by Linval Joseph, his first sack with the Minnesota Vikings. We have 3 sacks today. As Davis is hit and sacked again by Everson Griffin again. He goes back-to-back. 2 sacks for Everson Griffin, the right defensive end, and he's a dancing machine on this St. Louis Sunday. Matthew Stafford takes the Dominic Raiola snap. Stafford hit and sacked again. He's sacked by Tom Johnson. Back at the 26-yard line, Tom has 3 this year. Snaps it to RG3. Looks right, pumps, hit, sacked. RG3 was sacked. Sharif Floyd and Tom Johnson hit on that sack. It's Cam Newton shotgun, 5-step drop. He's hit from behind and sacked by Everson Griffin, who has 2 sacks today and 11 on the season. Everson sacked Cam. First and 10 from the 44, RG3. Play action, straight drop, floats out to the left. Here comes Robinson, and he sacked him at the 40. Sacks on 3 consecutive plays by the Minnesota Vikings, and a loss of 4. They have 4 today and 32 on the season.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, coming to you from Winter Park, and our Wobcast series training camp preview, position by position, it continues today. And to help us get through the offensive line and the defensive line, we have Vikings radio analyst and former Vikings player and coach, Pete Bursich. Hi, Pete.
What's going on, Wobby? Got the Wobcast going now? Yeah. I mean, is this the Wobcast?
Yeah, or the Wobcast.
This is right. Okay, so this is where it all began.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can go to Vikings.com and listen to it.
Really?
You can also download it on iTunes.
So, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
where else? Is there anywhere else I can find it? So I can download it on my smartphone and listen to it?
Well, the probably by now, the very first
to it.
Wobcasts that we ever sent, the radio beams are probably going by Pluto on the New Horizons
Fantastic.
Spacecraft right now.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure that you've been paying attention to that.
Yes, I have.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty amazing, you know, 10 years in the making that they did that. Yeah. I've always been an astronomy buff, and the technology that's required to do that, but it's not too complex and as far as computers and things that you have to have on board. I mean, they put the guys on the moon with a Commodore 64. That's all the computing power they had. Anyway, but it is people need to stop and take a look up at night every once in a while and just think,
what's
you know, and realize just how alone we are.
How small we are.
Exactly right.
Yeah, pretty cool. Well, that's literally rocket science. So let's talk about something that's not rocket science at all, and that's
Excellent.
Football.
Oh.
Football is not.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about 2 position groups here, offensive line and defensive line. Obviously, there are subsets of those position groups, but we're going to lump them all together. And I think the theme for both of these position groups heading into training camp in 2015 is depth. And the reason I say that is because along the offensive line, you have 4 of the 5 starters returning.
Mm-hmm.
And on the defensive line, you have all 4 starters returning. So to me, depth is the theme. And let's start with the defensive line and talk about some of those 4 starters that are coming back. Everson Griffin, Brian Robinson, Sharif Floyd, and Linval Joseph.
Right.
Pete, when you're calling games with PA and the regular season is upon us, what does the... what that group's identity, what does it need to be for Mike Zimmer to be pleased?
Well, I think Mike was pretty pleased with their productivity. You talk about Zimmer and the staff and what makes a good defensive staff. I think a guy like Everson Griffin is a perfect example. When they re-signed Everson and gave him a good contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't top dollar. It wasn't anything like that. It was a good contract. And we all kind of sat back and we're like, wow, that's for a guy who hasn't dominated by any means, anything, played well, but to get that kind of money, it made us perk up a little bit.
Yeah.
To see him play the way he did and the way he produced, mm-hmm. or especially early in the season, you know, the numbers were definitely there to support it. That tells me what this staff can get out of a guy. And for Everson, I think a vast majority of his improvement came purely from effort level.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen him work as hard as he did last year ever. I mean, he took it to the next level. That's the kind of effort you want to see a Cordarrelle Patterson all of a sudden. The work ethic like that, to all of a sudden work down in, you know, play in, play out, play at that high level. And I think a lot of that is his Zimmer. Whether Zimmer had to have his foot up his butt every day, but whatever he, however that worked out, he motivated Everson Griffin. Everson obviously has to motivate himself. But when players put effort in and they see themselves getting better by executing and doing what the coaches are asking them to do, now you got something special.
Yeah.
And for Everson, effort was such a big part of it. And he is what a great story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're evaluating a staff and a system and, you know, you see a guy like Everson come from obscurity, not I mean, like obscurity, but just kind of the haze, kind of the question mark, you know, what is he? Is he going to be a starter? Is he to this season, not even questioning, you know, saying, he's one of the better parts of this defensive line, I think is a great thing. Linval Joseph. Linval, I think, does more for this team than we even know.
Okay.
You know, you watch him on film or, you know, he's not the, making a ton of highlight reel type plays. He's not that kind of guy, you know, as a two gap and nose tackle, but he's not a Haloti Ngata and everybody's not talking about him. But boy, every chance the coaching staff had to discuss Linval, they heaped praise on him. And again, Linval's changed technique. He went from in New York where he was always inside shade of a guard or head up on a guard to playing over a center. It's a big difference. And everything we've heard was by the end of the season, he really has mastered that technique. And so I expect all these guys across the line to get better. I think Linval has a great chance of taking it to the next level. The guy next to him, Sharif Floyd, he's kind of another wild card. You saw some stuff out of him last year. Mm-hmm. His rookie year, you didn't see a whole lot of flash, but we saw some plays out of him last year, which is great. Linval's the kind of guy that you want to have do like the Everson Griffin story and just continue to get better. Sharif Floyd, because we know that Sharif Floyd is a good football player. We know he's very talented. He would have been drafted where he was if he wasn't big, fast, and quick. So we got to go on the field and use it. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to do all those things. But I'm more confident in what he'll be able to produce this year than before, because of the system, because of the coaching staff, and because of the guys around him. Brian Robinson on the outside, I think Brian had a better year than his numbers would indicate. He was always there in the sack game. Sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't. I think Brian was in position to make a lot of plays and just wasn't able to, for whatever reason, the quarterback rolling out the other way or guys stepping up, and you know, he'll be the first to tell you he had a few plays that he missed and whatnot. But Brian is just a steady, hard worker. You know what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
And so that front four, boy, they continue to work better, continue to improve. I mean, you're gonna have a very, very solid defensive front. We're not going to have the 34 sack pair of defensive ends. You know, it's not who we are, what we're going to see. I think we'll see more, just as like we saw last year, a lot of sacks, but spread out amongst the front seven.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be it.
Yeah. And I think if you look back on Mike Zimmer's past, that's kind of how it's gone for his defensive linemen. And, you know, from a former defensive coach's standpoint, which you did in the NFL for a number of years, you have guys, Shamar Stephan, a rookie last year, but played a lot of snaps. Tom Johnson, not a starter, had a career high, 5.5 sacks last season. When you have guys, because I think when we hear, we need a couple of backups who can come in and be fresh, a lot of people are thinking, okay, two defensive ends that you can have back up your two stars.
Right.
But those tackles need to be fresh late in games too, for a variety of reasons, don't they?
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. But again, you get guys, the guys that are coming in and spelling people, you know, everybody, I guess, just take a step back and look at that list, because there have been years where you look at the roster and you go, all right, who's playing better this year than they did the year before?
Okay.
You know, and you're going to have to mull through it, and maybe this guy. Every one of these defensive linemen last year in 2014 outperformed how they played in 2013.
Okay.
To a T. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember Brian Robinson's numbers from 2013 to 2014, but every single one of those guys played better.
Yeah.
Every one of them to a group. So then you see a, like you said, a Shamar Stephan or a Tom Johnson come in, and you're calling their names during games.
You're right.
You know, they're producing. And then that is a great sign. It really, really is. I mean, I think good defenses are built from the outside in. You got to have two good corners. You got to have two good defensive ends. Now, whether or not you use eight guys or four guys, it depends. But we have definitely shored up the interior of that defensive front. And with the young linebackers and the speed and the talent that you're going to have standing behind them, it's a big deal. How do you beat the Packers? I think that we had the recipe the second time we played them, where we held Rodgers to 178 or 179 yards passing, but it was the running game that killed us. If you're going to lose to Green Bay, that's how you want to lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want you put an offense on the board. You don't want Aaron Rodgers to beat you, just like when you play us. You don't want Adrian Peterson to beat you. We're going to do everything we can. If Charles Johnson catches four touchdown passes for 350 yards, so be it. Then they deserve to win.
Yep.
So you look at the Green Bay Packers. You got to stop Rodgers. You got to stop the big passes and the big plays, and we did that. We just couldn't stop the run. Well, you know, you get a couple horses in there. Couple more, you know, horses in there, and you can play some seven man box all game, and instead of get a stop here and there, it could totally change the game. I think the recipe for competing and beating, and what you have to do to beat a Green Bay, I was impressed. I really saw something in that last game that really made me think, yeah, we're heading in the right direction.
Okay, before we move on to the offensive line, I want to ask you about two other players. The first is a rookie. Danielle Hunter. Vikings took him in the third round out of LSU. And I'll tell you how people characterize him, and then I want you to tell me what you think it's going to be like for him as a rookie. This is the bit on Hunter. Freakishly athletic, but a little inexperienced and very raw. Technique needs refinement. While he develops as a defensive lineman, counting on him to be a major special teams contributor. So that's the profile of Danielle Hunter. Tell me what your reaction is to that, because you haven't gotten a good look at Hunter yet, obviously, because training camp has not started and you haven't called any games yet. And over the course of the next month, you're going to see this guy. But knowing just the profile, you played special teams in the league.
Yeah.
You coached and played defense in the league. That's the profile of this player. What kind of rookie season do you think a guy like that should have?
Well, he should have situational success. And, and by that, I mean his goal should be to have a package or a personnel group where he actually gets in there and plays
on defense,
whether it's a nickel or dime or 3-4 type odd front that you can pull on a third down type situation.
Sure.
But you want to buy into, and this is another thing that I think Zimmer's done a wonderful job of is you take Gerald Hodges, for example, a guy we didn't hear from him at all his rookie year. And then this year he intercepts a pass for a touchdown. I mean, we were all wondering, you know, where did he go? He's a good athlete, just like you said. You know, he's a great athlete, blah, 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 blah. But we're not seeing any productivity on the field. Mm-hmm. What we did last year. Yeah, you know, he struggled in coverage and route reading and progressions and getting in the right spots. But he's a young guy. But, man, did he come a long way. So you look at a young guy like this, you would expect him as well to come in and come a long way. And the only question mark on someone like that, when you're in a situation like you are here, is he going to work? Is he going to be a pro? And is he going to work? Is he going to stay healthy? If he comes in with an open mind, says, yes, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then not just do it, but perfect it, learn it. The game's your life. It's who you are. It's what you do. And live that way, you know. My guy, because you can't, those are the things you can't coach. You can't coach big, can't coach fast.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can't coach guys on if they're durable or not. If he has those intangibles, here we go. Yeah. I mean, I think they could show him the rest.
Well, I'm going to be interested to see what you think of him when you get a good look at him and watch him play, because you have an eye for this type of player, a guy who's going to try and be a contributor on defense, but needs to play on special teams as well and needs to be good at some of the intangibles to make a difference. You're going to have a good eye on that, so I'll be curious to see what you think of him in the preseason. Scott Crichton, a guy you're a little more familiar with because he was on our team last year. Third-round pick last year. Did not see much of the field. Now a guy that they're thinking maybe, you know, he's listed as a DN. Maybe we can slide him inside and rush him on some third and longs, some right. second and longs. Maybe a guy we still want to use on special teams. What could you see from Scott Crichton? Is this a guy who he might have some potential and he might be pretty good, or is this a guy that you're kind of looking past?
Well, I'm not looking past him. What I'm saying, I guess, is that he's got some work. He's got some work to do. I mean, to come in and just be a third round pick, and you're not going to get anointed as a backup. You're not going to get anointed as a starter because you're just a third round pick. You know, you look at Shamar Stephan and Tom Johnson. Those guys have come in and earned their position. He's going to have to come in and earn it. He's going to have to come in and step up and earn, and that's that competition that you want. So it's going to be put up or shut up, I guess, is kind of what I'm saying.
Okay.
Those are the guys that you keep around on the practice squad. You can't teach big, you can't teach fast. You know, if you're a big D lineman and can run, you're going to get picked in the first three rounds. I don't care how good of a quote unquote football player you are, because you just can't find big fast guys.
Right.
Right. Or who are athletic. There's not many of them. So he's going to have his work cut out for him, and he's in the right environment, but I love the fact that they're not just going to say, hey, we invested a lot in this guy in a third round pick. He's going to, you know, get him in there. Yeah. No, it doesn't happen that way. You got to earn it. And if he doesn't earn it, then so long.
Yeah. He had a really good spring. Rick Spielman even pointed him out during an interview with our guy, PA, on his show. He said, you know, Scott Crichton's a guy who's had a really good spring. So it'll be interesting to see if he can back that
whatever
up
that means.
And have a good, right, and have a good summer, because we all know you right, earn your spot right, in the right. summer at training camp, yeah. not in the spring.
Exactly right. I mean, it's, yeah. But if you're looking for a guy to grow up, turn around, or if you know, have a good idea what the challenges are for a player. You know, sometimes guys got to get bigger. Mm-hmm. Sometimes guys got to grow up and just get more serious. And if they've seen that out of him, then yeah, it should transition into production on productivity on the field.
We'll transition to the offensive line right now. And, you know, really, I know that a lot of times it's joked about in football that the offensive linemen are a forgotten about bunch, but due to a lot of different things, the offensive line was a little bit in the spotlight for the Vikings last season. You had a lot of criticism of Matt Khalil, but then he really picked it up at the end of the season. You dealt with a lot of injuries along the Vikings offensive line last season, where at one point in time you had three starters out and three backups playing. So frame it up for us in 2015. Instead of going into, let's talk for 10 minutes about Matt Khalil, let's talk for 10 minutes about Sully.
Right.
Let's skip that and just frame up Vikings offensive line heading into 2015 training camp. Where are we at?
I think it's a bit of a question mark. Mm-hmm. And I say it for a number of different reasons. Last year, injuries took its toll. You had, you know, Fuss go out and Load hold out, and then you had problems at the other guard. So you're saying 60% of your offensive line right. is injured. For a young quarterback, consistency is extremely important. So for Teddy Bridgewater to come out every week in and week out with a different guy here, different guy over there, different guy in the huddle, it matters. It does. It really matters. Sullivan he stayed healthy last year, you know, but he's had some injury struggles in the past. Khalil has at least been healthy. His inconsistencies would maybe be focus or some other areas. My point is it's going to be key to keep those five guys together and keep them healthy, mm-hmm. and then have again a veteran backup. We saw the veteran swing guy. The other thing that's changing is Adrian Peterson's back. So are we still going to kind of run this? You know, with the Matt Asiata offense, the running game was very simplified. You just kind of gap protect, push the pile. They did a great job of it. And the unblocked defensive end was optioned. It was, they read him. If he collapses, then Teddy keeps it or throws it. Or if he doesn't collapse, then, you hand the ball off. If the safety comes down, then you fake the handoff and throw a pop pass. I mean, are they going to run that same offense with Adrian? And if they don't, what are they going to run?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've seen North Turner run a counter power team game before. That's predicated on, I think, on the physical abilities of the guards, meaning can they move? Mm-hmm. Fusco, I think, is that athletic. Our left guard, we'll see. That's the big key for the offensive line. It's going to be kind of starting over again, because I do think that they're going to change the running game. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll say Teddy operates best in this type of an offense. Adrian, sorry, you're going to have to adjust to Teddy and what's good for him. So we'll see a base offense. We're not going to see what they're really going to do until the season starts, but that's going to cause headaches for the first 2-3 teams that we play. Is going to be, what are they going to do with Adrian? How does Adrian look? What are they going to do with him?
Right.
What are they going to change? We don't have a fullback, right? So the two back,
right,
that style of offense, is it gone? I don't know. Maybe we could use an H-back for it. So the system that we're going to run, it'll be kept quiet, kept close to the vest in the first 3 weeks. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome to see what could possibly happen.
I mean, you can't really go off of last year's tape. I mean, because Norv ran an offense and ran some plays, but it's entirely different with Adrian. So it will be interesting to see.
And then you have a Wallace instead of a Jennings, which should allow you to do some things.
Yep.
And Rudolph and Root Kyle, I think, he's different this year. He's one of the guys I see a little bit more often. He's a little bit, we're getting off on the tight ends. They're kind of offensive linemen, so I'm not too far out of bounds.
Yeah.
He's really focused on staying healthy. And you saw it last year. The guys that get hurt and miss things, and they're just kind of okay with it. Mm-hmm. He was not.
Right.
He was not. He's dialed in and focused on durability this year, and we need that out of him.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you would think he should be up there with some of the better producing tight ends in the league. So you got Wallace, and then you got the tight end, and then who's going to be the number two wide receiver? That's a whole show in and of itself. Yeah. But what an opportunity for that guy.
Yeah.
But the defense is going to worry about Adrian. They're going to worry about Wallace on the vertical. Whoever's up over there, you got like a Jake Reed style of opportunity with when he had Chris Carter and Randy Moss.
Yep.
No one cared about Jake Reed when he had the other two guys on the field. Oh, and by the way, Robert Smith and Leroy Horde were in the backfield.
Right. And so maybe Rudy is that guy this year.
We'll see.
I mean, if you, again, not to get off on a tangent, if you don't pay attention to Kyle Rudolph, he can hurt you.
And that's what we agree that we have the ability, he has that ability. Like we said, when a defensive coordinator sits down and spells out a team, or you defend a team, you say, we'll let, and for lack of a better term, Charles Johnson beat us, right? You kind of know that Rudy can.
Right.
If you just turn him free, he has the ability to beat a team. He can do it. Yep. So now you got a problem. You got the tight end, you got the wide receiver, you got the running back, you got the quarterback. It's coming together nicely.
But you got to block for these guys.
And my expectations are early in the season. I don't expect us to come out of the gate gangbusters. I mean, we're still a young team at a lot of key positions. And I think we're going to be, linebacker is going to be young. We're going to have some young guys in the secondary. But I think that this is the kind of team that week eight can really build some momentum.
Yeah. Last thing on the offensive line, there is an open starting position, and right now I really, if the coaching staff had to pick a guy to start, I think they could pick a guy and feel comfortable, but they don't know who it is quite yet. Whether you move Fusco to left guard and open the right guard competition up, or keep Fusco at right guard and open the left side up, regardless of that, how do we handicap this thing during training camp in the preseason? How do we know who the coaches are favoring and who they like? Do we see it in practice? Do we see it in the preseason games? What's your opinion on that?
In practice, just watch who's getting reps with the ones.
Yeah.
I think you can do that. And I think you can, Denny Green, the way he operated was he would watch guys when they didn't think they were being watched. And if you had a guy that would flash, mm-hmm. then he'd take that as a, okay, you've earned the opportunity to get a shot with the ones. Let's see what he can do. So that's kind of what you're looking at. But you going into the season, you know, if the first day you're down there and the snaps are split evenly, there's true open competition.
Okay.
If you go down there and so-and-so, one guy gets 90%, well, that's what they're leaning toward.
Yeah.
Well, maintain it, a week into camp, is he still getting 90%? Or is it 50-50 now?
Right.
You know, that's right. – and it's only with the ones. It's only with us. It don't doesn't matter when you're doing some other things, and they got, you know, they've got other guys mixed in and mixed out. No, no, no. It's that it's the ones on ones, that first five or six plays. Pay attention to that, because that's when you're, you know, the rest of those snaps, they're going to shuffle guys in and out all over the place.
All right. Before we wrap this thing up on the offensive and defensive line, a couple of quick hitters. If you're in an opposing team's offense, you're calling the plays, designing the plays, and it's fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me, and you're going to run the ball against the Vikings defense. Tell me where you're avoiding. Where, who are you not running at along the Vikings defensive front?
Boy, I would, you know, the only thing you, I don't think you would want to just pound the football off the middle, because you do have a Linval Joseph that you've got some beef to move. You know, our defensive ends are athletic, and they're but they're not enormous,
right?
So you, I would think you'd have to try to get two bodies on them and you know, move them out.
All right,
try to get the yard off tackle.
Conversely, you're calling plays for the Vikings.
Okay,
for fourth and goal from the one, and you're going to run the ball. Tell me who you're running behind. It's obviously with 28. So tell me what personnel you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in 21? Are you in 22? What are you doing? And tell me the combination block you want out in front of Adrian. Fourth and goal, man. It's a Super Bowl.
You know what you can do? I mean, with the talent you have, you could spread them out and give Teddy the option to hand the ball off or keep it.
Okay.
And just let a guy like Lodeholt in the offensive line, what we call elephant block, meaning they just – whoever's in the gap to your left, you just destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lodeholt gets a head of steam and next to a guy like a road grader like Fusco, I would think I'd have to run off the rear ends of those two
on
if
right
I were
side.
To hand it off. And if the end collapses, then you just let Teddy trot it in or whatever.
All right. The Vikings will go 10-6, 11-5, and win the division if the offensive line
– oh,
if fill in the blank.
I think if the offensive line can block for Adrian to where Adrian is a shadow or let's just say close to what he was, where anytime he gets the ball, he could break the big one. If the offensive line can do that, you've got problems in this team, you know, because now a lot of teams are one sided. You throw the ball real well, but then you get up by three touchdowns in a game. You can't close it out. You can't just hand the ball off. Because then you start getting your three and outs, and you know you lose. If you can take a guy like Adrian and have him going, and you get the lead, and you can't stop him, and that offensive line is moving defenders 2-3 yards, and let Adrian get in 3-4-5 at a crack, and still have the ability to break a big one. You got a 10-point lead in the third quarter. You win.
Yeah,
I mean that's if the O-line can do that, then that'll be a 10-6 style season.
All right. Well, hopefully they can. We're going to start to unveil the pieces to this puzzle at the end of the week. The Vikings report to training camp on Saturday. And Pete, we'll see you down at training camp, I'm sure, a few times. And then, of course, in the preseason. That's Vikings radio analyst Pete Bursich joining us on today's Wobcast to break down the offensive line and the defensive line. Our series, position breakdown series on the Wobcast, will continue throughout this week as we break down the remaining positions leading up to 2015 Verizon Vikings training camp. On behalf of Wobcast producer Nate Vaughn and Vikings radio analyst Pete Bursich, this is Mike Wobshaw signing off. See you next time.